5. It actually doesn't have anything to do with the message. It has to do with a sign I saw. Come around the corner there, around from the courthouse in Princeton. There's too much world in the church and not enough church in the world. Yeah, tell me about it. I'm not blaming my failures on the church. Now, I fail. I stumble, I fall. But his church was purchased by his blood, and it'll be perfect. It's his bride. It'll be right. But they've got the church mixed up with a building. And there's probably too much world in that building. There may be too much world in this building, but we've got less than others. Yeah. Trust me, I've been there. And as for not enough church in the world, there's not enough church for the world. Not to help it. I think this world's going to have to get burned up. And I believe there's going to be a new one. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that's something none of us know much about. Anyway, I just put that back in my mind. John chapter 5. Oh, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'll say I get my rant out of the way early. John chapter 5, and I want to begin reading in verse 43. John chapter 5 and verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now, this is a continuation on from what I started talking about last week, in a way, of what Christ says about himself. The words of the Son of God about the Son of God, which is a lot more important than anything I could say. And these are his words here. I am come in my Father's name. Now, if you want to debate whether or not Jesus Christ came into this world, I'm not going to take the time. Because I got nothing for you, if that's what you want to debate. Matter of fact, I don't have the time, the inclination, or the patience. I've got nothing for you if you do not accept the fact that Jesus of Nazareth walked upon this earth. If you got a problem with that, you know, we don't have any common ground in which to start. There's nothing there. Because if you want to deny the history of this planet, we'll talk about the Easter Bunny instead. I just don't think we'll have much to talk about that way. And I refuse totally to enter into a debate about the existence of Jesus of Nazareth, because I'm not actually here to debate at all. I'm here to proclaim the Christ of God to the best of my ability, which some days is better than others. I understand. But these are the words of Christ, and therefore they're perfect. You don't have to worry too much about my interpretation of them, because it says, I am come in my Father's name. These words were recorded because God wanted them recorded. And I propose that we read them to our benefit, because they've benefited me. Because it's about him. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about us, although it is indirectly. But it's about him. Yeah. And why he came. And this is, I am come in my Father's name. The first thing I wanted to put out is actually what he didn't say. I keep doing that. He did not come in the Father's name. He told these fellows, I come in my Father's name. My Father's name. Now there are some who would see no marvel in this statement, because they've got this crazy idea, and I don't know, well, I do know where they got it from. They got it from preachers. That God is everybody's Father. That's what the world thinks. I was typing this up and that song come in my head I used to sing in the Catholic Church. It's amazing what you can't forget, or what gets stuck back in there and then gets kicked out by a few choice words, and it triggers a memory. And it's, well, it also has to do with something I said a week or two ago about, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. With God as our Father, brothers all are we. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony. And see, of course, now this time of year is also. Now, I'm not against civility in stores. And actually, I do enjoy it, going into a store and people smiling at you because they're happy. You know? But birds sing, and it doesn't mean anything. People can smile and be happy about stuff that doesn't mean anything. But I can still enjoy it, because nobody's hitting me with an elbow or trying to knock me down or get the heck out of the way, buddy. What's the matter with you? They think God is everyone's Father.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I say different. Matter of fact, I can tell you that there's some, and probably a whole lot of men and women, whose father's not God. I'm getting to that. I'm saying it now. But there's a reason I'm saying it, because it's in the book. God is not the father of all men. He is the creator. But creator is one job, father is another. And you'll see that a lot in the human race. There's a lot of creators out there, but there ain't many fathers. There's a lot of fathers who's supposed to be fathers, just walk off. God's not that way. Not with his children. He is the creator, yes. Because the creator creates, he created, and he creates. But the father is the father of his children. Guaranteed. Now, some people actually have another father. I know that because Jesus Christ said it. Matter of fact, it's in this book a couple chapters later. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now, I want you to go out and proclaim that a lot in First Baptist churches in Bethlehem. I wonder how many people read that. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now, I'm just guessing, but if your father's the devil, I don't think God's also your father. And the lusts of your father ye will do. Whether it's religious lusts, or physical lusts, or drinking lusts, or any other lusts.
Right.
The lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth.
Right.
And that's where, why they're saying there's too much world in their churches. Because they abide not in the truth.
Right, they abide not the truth.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it, and the father of you. Christ said, I come in the name of my Father. It's not this one. One of the reasons Christ said it this way is because of whom he was talking. Who he was talking to. Because he was talking to some who sought the more to kill him. He was talking to these Jews. That's who he was talking to. Who were seeking more to kill him. Not just seeking to kill him, seeking the more. And I like what Henry Mahan asked one time. He says, what turned a Saturday morning temple worshiping religious crowd into a lynch mob? I'll tell you what will do it every time. Speaking the truth of God and lying not.
Right.
It'll do it.
Right.
And I've talked about it. We've seen it. Personally.
Yeah.
A few of us have.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm still glad I didn't hear that fellow yell about hanging us up from a tree. Because that might have made me more nervous than I was. And I was nervous enough as it is. Because that was my first dealings with the hatred of a religious crowd.
Yeah, right.
Christ dealt with that stuff every day. Because that's what man is.
Yeah.
They are of their father, the devil.
Yeah.
And his works they'll do. And the lust for blood. He was a murderer from the beginning.
Yeah.
And these Jews sought the more to kill him. That's a horrible thing to do to God-fearing folk. Tell them the truth. Because it doesn't bring, the truth does not bring out the best in people. Okay? It really doesn't. Unless you know the truth. Unless you know Him who is the truth. It's not going to bring out the best in you. See, in this instance, Christ healed a man on the Sabbath. That was bad enough. He performed a work on the Sabbath. Even though it was healing a man. Told him to take up his bed. Well, let's back up here to chapter 5, John 5 and verse 16. Well, verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Now, I'm sure that man did that happily.
Sure he did.
But somehow the Jews didn't quite take it happily. And therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day? Healing somebody against another one's religion is bad. To the other ones. The healed guy's still real happy about it. But if you're rubbing somebody's nose into the failures of what they're thinking and what they believe, and that God is not who they think it is, they'll want to kill you. At best, they'll want you out of their way. Then verse 17, because Christ didn't stop there. He said, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now the fact that Christ could have been equal with God never entered their mind. You'll find out why. But that never entered their mind. He must be lying. And they sought the more to kill him. Not only did he say he healed somebody on the Sabbath, he said he was equal with God. They thought that Jesus Christ was making himself to be equal with God. Well, they were partially correct. Actually, in some ways, they were 100% correct. Except this wasn't a new thing. He wasn't making himself equal with God. He was equal with God.
Amen.
He is equal with God.
Yeah.
That song we say, with God, the three in one.
Yeah.
The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And these three are one.
Amen.
And these three agree in one.
Yeah.
And that's something we can't do.
Right.
The only thing man's good for is we can agree to kill Christ. They sought the more to kill him when he said he was equal with God. When he spoke of my Father. Not the Father, my Father. And if you got a problem with Jesus Christ calling God my Father, take it up with God because he started it. God started it. And if you want to argue with him, go right ahead. I dare you. He spoke from heaven about this verbally and audibly and publicly at the baptism of Jesus Christ by John the Baptist. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee am I well pleased." And he never said that to anybody else. And he's never going to say that to anybody else. God called him his son. My beloved son. And in thee am I well pleased. He never said that about me. Because there at that one incident, you've got the Father, you've got the Son, and you've got the Spirit. Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of the Most High God. God said so. And I think that settles it whether we believe it or not. But these men wouldn't have it. These Jews wouldn't have it. So what did Christ do? He repeated it. They wouldn't have it, so he said it again. I like that. I understand trying to be positive, but Jesus Christ was a little negative at times toward the men of this world. He comforted his people. He comforted his disciples. Now, he did tell Peter one time to get behind me, Satan. But then after that, he talked nice to him. But this is the way he always talked to religious folk that were out to destroy the truth of God if they could. And that's what they wanted to do. They sought the more to kill him. They were the enemies of God. If you're against Jesus Christ, you're against God. These three are one. And that doesn't say a whole lot about the whole Jehovah Witness faith. Because the faith isn't about Jesus Christ. They talk about Jehovah. Jesus Christ is God. He's the one with whom we have to do. That's what the book says. He's the one we know. Now he and God and the Spirit are one. Christ Jesus came in his Father's name and they wouldn't receive him. You receive me not. And the reason they didn't receive him is because they didn't want him. And the reason they didn't want him is because they hated him. And the reason they hated him is because they didn't know him. Well, they did want him, but what they wanted, you have to add that word at the end, they wanted him dead. Religious people haven't changed. Man hasn't changed. Christ Jesus came in his Father's name and they received him not. John the Baptist bore witness unto the truth. Christ said, I've got a greater witness than John. The works the Father sent Christ to do and Christ doing those works. And these men saw those works and they still wanted to kill him. So the old adage, what they call seeing is believing, it ain't so. Or maybe it is so if he gives you eyes to see. But just seeing actions, just seeing a miracle, doesn't mean you understand a miracle. He cast out devils by the power of Satan. If they don't know the truth, they'll make up stuff. It's truth. They will. They'll make up stuff. He cast out devils by the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus Christ said, you guys are dumb. If the devil casts out the devil, how's his house going to stand? But that doesn't matter to the religious man. Nothing matters except for their own thoughts, their own mind, their own beliefs. And Christ, God, had already said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Matter of fact, they're a lot better. They're higher than your ways. And they're higher than your thoughts. Christ stated that he knew these men. And that wasn't good, because he didn't stop there. He told them, ye have not the love of God in you. That's verse 42, right before what I read. John 5:42. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Amen. That's where the problem lies.
Yeah.
In us. In what's not in us. Naturally. He had actually said it a little bit different a couple verses before that, verse 38. And says, and ye have not his word, meaning the Father's word, abiding in you. For whom he has sent, ye believe not. Him ye believe not. Jesus Christ didn't need anybody to tell him what was in the heart of a man. He knew. He knew what was in the hearts of men, and he knew what wasn't in the hearts of men.
Right.
And he didn't need anybody to tell him about it. He knew these men did not have his word abiding in them, because these men gave explicit evidence against themselves because they believed not him. Whom the Father sent. That's the evidence of the love of God abiding in you, that you believe him.
Yeah.
You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe Walter. You don't have to believe anybody else. If you believe him, and that he came in his Father's name. If you have not the love of God in you, you'll receive a false Christ. And there's one on every corner. I'm not talking about them idiots on TV. Although they're out there too. And there's a few million following them that say that they actually are the new Christ. Because the old one wasn't enough, evidently. Well, that just goes to show they don't know who Christ is. Because he is and he's coming back. But there are those who receive a false Christ. A Christ who's done all he can do, and now it's up to you. There are those who will receive a false Christ, who if you take the first step, he'll meet you there. And I agree with Henry Mahan. The first step's come out of the grave. You do that, I'll meet you there. I don't think you can. If you have not the love of God in you, you will receive just about any Christ except the Christ of God. Except the Christ of God. And it is that simple. Because it takes the love of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God to make a dead, alien sinner receive the Christ of God.
Yeah.
It takes life from God.
Amen.
And that way you're not a dead alien sinner. You're still a sinner, but you're not dead. I believe that this Jesus is the Christ of God. I believe he came in his Father's name. And he is the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. And I believe that because by his grace, I hear him. And I hear him, I believe because of his grace, his word abides in me. And I believe him because I believe by the grace of God, the love of God abides in me. I want to know him because I've been given the love of God by the Holy Spirit. So the only question we got is, do you want to know him? Do you want to know him? Or do you know him? Do you want to love him? And do you hear him? If you do, it's because of the Father's work.
Amen.
It's not because of your work. And it's not because of my work. It's because of the Father's work. His Father's work. Which Christ did and the Spirit applies. We are to give him the glory because it belongs to him.
Yeah.
He's earned it.
Yeah.
We haven't. We are to boast in him because he's done it. We are not to boast in ourselves and what we've done because he's done it. Now, some may have a problem with giving all the glory to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But I'll tell you something. I learned a while back. The Father's children don't have a problem with giving the Father the glory.
Right. Amen. Right.
A lot of other people might. They want to keep a little bit for themselves or whatever. Well, you know, but I did this. Well, good for you. Good for you. question is, did God do something?
Yeah.
That song is a good song. Jesus paid it all.
Yeah.
Now, most Arminians sing that song. They sing Jesus paid it all, but what they preach is Jesus paid most of it. And I've sung that before, but I'm not going to do it right now. Almost all I owed. Sin had left a crimson stain. He did the best he could. That's not the Christ of this Bible.
No, it's not.
He gets the glory because he's done the work.
Yeah.
He did the work to get it done, to make the offering and made the offering to the Father. And then he does the work to give it to us.
Yeah.
And we receive it because he gave it, not because of anything we've done. Because if he gives it to you, you're going to have it. I guarantee.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for our Lord who came in your name and who finished the work you gave him to do. And now is doing even more in the hearts of his children, your children, his people, us. Thank you, Lord, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.